We bought the house and we went up there and we took some hammers, some nails, some screwdrivers, and a razor blade, and we took that carpet out with the strips and put down some flooring. And what do you think came up as we pulled up the carpet? Yeah, lots of it, right? And dog hair and dirt and filth, and we had to clean it up. Then we had to get the shop vac out and the broom and the dustpan, and then had to do some back-breaking work of putting that floor down in one day. At the end of the day, I was tired on Friday. Then we moved that house, and I was tired again. So I got a really good night's sleep the first night after we moved in. And I think that's a lot like the Christian life. You come in and you see somebody's heart, and it's got some stuff that doesn't belong there, and stuff that's just destroying that heart. But when we let Christ come into our life, and when we begin letting him do the work that he intends to do, he's going to start taking those razor blades and the nails and the hammer and the tools, and he's going to start ripping stuff up, and he's going to start fixing things and putting in new and clean and fresh. And that's where we're at in the book of Colossians. Last week we talked about that old shirt. And some of us guys, we don't want to get rid of that old shirt. But we need somebody to come along and say, it's time for that shirt to go. It's got too many holes in it. It smells bad. Too many stains. It's time for it to go. And today, as we open the Word of God and as we look into it, we're going to see we need to take that old sin nature and get it out and get it behind us, and to look forward to what God has in store for us. Let's pray as we begin looking here. Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word and for the things that we learn from it. I pray, Lord, that as we open your word, as we read from it, that your name will be glorified, that you will help us dig around in our heart and look at the sins that are setting us back. And Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to begin to start living for you and to continue this Christian life. And Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to yield our lives to you, for it's in your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we looked last week, we saw that Paul noticed that there was a problem in the church of here, and he said, we need to tackle this problem. We've been saying for a long time, there were false teachers that came in and were trying to take the Christian faith and to skew it, to change it, to say, well, there's a little bit more to this than what Jesus Christ taught. You ought to do some special things, and maybe some things that they wanted to do, but Paul drives them back to Jesus Christ. And why did Jesus Christ come? So that we would know and believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and he would pay the penalty for our sin, that we could find redemption and forgiveness in Jesus Christ, and to take care of that sin problem. And Paul wants to get these people back to where they need to be. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and let's take care of that sin problem. And so as Paul deals with it, we looked last week that normally when we pick up a hymnal and we sing a song, when we hear a testimony, we hear past, present, and then we look at the future. And that's normal, and that's the way we ought to look at it. If we had somebody come up here and give their testimony, that's the way we'd want to hear it. Past, present, and then future. But that's not the way Paul tells it. As Paul tells the story here, he starts with the future. Because for the believer, our first thought and where we ought to be thinking about right from the beginning, and when we come together as believers, what we ought to be talking about is our future with Jesus Christ. That's what we ought to be excited about. Amen. So I've met some Christians that sometimes it seemed like whenever they got around, whenever they talk about their past. You know, back in the 60s, I was a druggie, and in the 70s, I was a hippie, or in the 80s, I was... And they just love to talk about their past. And that's important that we hear their past. Don't get me wrong. We want to hear in testimony time of what Christ has done. But for the believer, our first and most important, and the thing, like it says here, we ought to be setting our minds on is the future. Because we're done with the past. We can use the past to encourage those who might need a future, but the past is behind us. Our first thought, our first priority, ought to be on our future. Aren't you glad that sometimes I'm very glad that God did not choose me to be the basketball star that I wanted to be when I was 13. Because I look at them now, and I think, boy, if I had become a basketball star and I made it to 36, especially as you listen on the radio, so, oh, they're 36, they're over the hill in sports terms, right? Everything that they could do, they did in their past. Not me. My past is, you know, that's the past. It's gone. I'm looking forward to the future. And today, we want to talk about leaving that past behind us. Throwing it out. Putting it in the trash. And beginning to live for Jesus Christ. It says in verse 5, it says, "Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds." And the focus of this part is the past. That's who you were before Christ. That's who everybody was before Christ. It says here in verse 7, I love it when it says that, "in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them." I'm glad that I can put myself in verse 7. "You yourselves once walked when you lived in them." Amen. I'm done with that. And so as we look at these things that the believer should be leaving behind: sexual immorality, coveting, idolatry, anger, wrath, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. I was listening as I was heading down the road this week, and I only caught a little bit of Dr. David Jeremiah as he was talking about the problem with holding on to bitterness and not forgiving. And he was telling the story about how doctors say that if you've got problems, a lot of times you can trace those problems back to that type of stuff right there. And he told a story of a man who was having some real troubles. Some, you know, his health was catching up to him. He went to his doctor and he said, his doctor said to him, "You've probably got a lot of stress in your life and you got some things you need to take care of." And Dr. David Jeremiah's story, how many of you guys heard that? Did anybody else hear that this week? A couple of you guys did. He said, "You need to go and get things right." So he went to his business partner and got things right in his spiritual heart, and things began to change in his physical well-being because he took care of some of those things. And when we look at the things that we have here, the things that are listed that we ought to be leaving behind, these things destroy. They are unhealthy for your soul. They are unhealthy for your heart. And they are unhealthy for your spiritual condition. And as we look at some of these things, I look at these things as sins that need to be seriously addressed. I had this question in my mind brought to me, and I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it. I've heard a lot of people say that when it comes to sin, you ought to stand up to it. And I've heard a lot of people say that when it comes to sin, you need to run away from it. And I had the question, and this was a question that I contemplated and contemplated. When you talk about meditating on Scripture, this was one that I wanted to meditate on and wanted to get it in my heart. What do you do with sin? And as I look at these sins, when these are problems in your life, and these are the things that are weighing you down to the part, to the point where it is hurting your relationship with God, it is hurting your relationship with your family, when it is destroying your physical health, you need to run from these sins. These ones that are listed here. If you have a situation where sexual immorality, straying from God's plan for a relationship here on earth between one man and one woman, you ought to run. You ought to run from that. Biblical precedents for that. The story of Joseph and how he ran and he got out of there as fast as he possibly could. When it comes to coveting and idolatry and having the desire to have money sit on the throne of your heart, to have something that consumes you as an idol, and that's something in your heart that takes the place of where God ought to sit, and that is consuming you to the point of addiction. Well, and that could be all sorts of things. Money, sports, it could be alcohol, drugs, an idol, satanic worship, music that is taking you away from God. At one point in my life, that's what idolatry was. Music that did not, when I was a teenager, that was my idol. And you want to know how I kicked that idol? Is when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, threw him in the trash. Amen. I ran. Amen. I fled those things. And that's what we need to do. There are times where we need to stand to sin. When we see sin around us happening, we need to stand up to it. As we see things being done, and we know that we need to take a stand, we need to stand against sin. But when sin is destroying us and we're fighting it, we need to run. And a lot of these things that I see in here, anger, wrath, malice, bringing someone down with our words, that's something that we ought to leave behind. When we are taking someone and we are speaking against them and bringing them down with our words, we ought to get that out of our life. That's something that unbelievers do. They tear each other down with their words. We need to run from that. We as Christians, we ought to be edifying each other, building each other up, not speaking about them behind their backs. And when these things are in our life, we need to take it like I took that old carpet and tear it up and throw it in the trash, in the dumpster, because that's where these things belong. We find some of these places where we look in what we ought to do and take these sins and where we ought to put them. One of those places is in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, it says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." We ought to flee from those youthful lusts. Don't you? Isn't the picture when you read passages like that, the picture that you get in your mind, and this is the picture that I get in my mind, is Joseph. How he was doing what was right, and the temptation came, and even as that temptation was grabbing onto him, like all of these sins will try to do to you. And Joseph had to run from them. And I think that that is the answer to all of those sins. And I know that on many occasions I've sat down with somebody and they've talked to me about sin. And I've said, the thing you've got to do, the thing we all have to do, is when we face those sins, we need to throw them out the window. When a young person, or it doesn't even matter if it's a young person, when someone all of a sudden, the source of their sin is something that maybe they hold dear. Their video game system, a cell phone, a television, a computer. What should they do when facing those situations? Throw them out. When I think about those things, I think about what Jesus Christ said. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. For it's better to enter heaven with one eye or no eyes than to go to hell seeing. There's a picture that I saw. And in that picture, there was a princess, and she had a plate here, and she had been lusting after a young man, and she was presenting this plate to her father, and on that plate was two eyeballs. And she was saying, "I don't want to lust here." And I saw that, and I thought, how could someone do that? Actually go and gouge out their eyes so they wouldn't lust. And this was a paint. I don't think that this was a photograph. This was a painting that someone had painted. And then I began thinking about people today that are chained and are in bondage to something like a cellular phone, where some of their sin takes place. Some of these things, like the anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, where someone will go on and they will destroy someone's character in a matter of minutes with the things that they type so fast. That is going to destroy that person just as much as a drug would. And what do they need to do? I mean, and I think about it, that cell phone. Would you rather go to heaven empty-handed with no cell phone, no television, no music? Would you rather go to heaven with none of that in your hand, or would you rather go to hell carrying that device? Sitting in front of that television. And I don't know who needs to hear that. I don't know who needs to think about those things. But there comes a time in our life where it's time for us to look at that sin. Anything on this list here. If you see something and God's working on your heart, and you're saying, that it's time for that to go. That's my past. I want to leave it in the past. I don't want to hang on to that. It's destroying me. And maybe tonight's the night where you're going to picture that sin as that orange carpet in your living room or your bedroom. It's time to go because that thing's making you sick. That thing's destroying your life and your well-being. And maybe it's time tonight to get the razor blade out, to grab the hammer, to get the screwdriver. It's time for that to go in the dumpster. Maybe we'll see some change as we leave the past where it belongs, in the past. In closing this evening, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's just think about some of these words. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor executioners will inherit the kingdom of God." But then you love verse 11, don't you? "And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Praise the Lord for what Jesus Christ did on the cross." Amen. And that we can put our names in there, "and such were some of you." And if right now you're struggling with one of those sins, you're saying, I want to be done. I want this out of my life. We can look at the cross and what we've talked about this as we've been looking at the book of Colossians. Jesus Christ took that written record against us and nailed it to his cross as a testament that he paid for our sin, that he won victory over the devil, and to put our enemy on notice that Jesus Christ won. And if you're having trouble leaving that past in the past, hold on to verse 18 this week. Flee sexual immorality. And maybe if it's not sexual immorality, you could put something else in there. Flee idolatry. Flee covetousness. Flee wrath. Flee anger. Flee malice. There's a whole list of things that we ought to run from. And as you begin to take those sins, leave them behind, and to begin to pursue the future that Jesus Christ has intended for you, I guarantee you there'll be a change. A change in your spirit. A change in your soul. A change in your family. And you'll see a difference. And everyone around you will see a difference. And we'll make a difference on this world together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we talked about some tough stuff tonight. We dug into our hearts. We looked at some sins that ought to remain in the past. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take those things and to put them in the dumpster and to leave them where they belong. And Lord, we look forward to our future that we find in you. And I pray that as we live in the present now, that you will help us to live for you daily. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'll take your hymnals tonight and open to Numbers 344. We'll sing about God's grace that's greater than our sin. And let's sing the first and last verse. Let's stand on up and sing right out as we sing 344. Grace is greater than our sin.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His grace, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Mr. George Clark, would you please close us in prayer this evening?
Father, how we praise and thank you for tonight's service, for the opportunity to examine our own hearts and to seek out what you'd have us get rid of. Lord, that we might confess that before you, clean out our hearts and throw it away as it was brought out in the trash can or in the deepest sea. That is good enough for me. Lord, how we love you. We want to continue to serve you. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you here in Port Crane. And we praise and thank you for the church being open to present the Word of God to anyone that wants to hear it, if they're willing to come in. And we'll give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. 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 Yeah.